Thank you, Cindy, and the worship team. You are aware that we are currently on the series of the book of Romans. And I had actually really wanted intentionally to continue that book. But somehow in the beginning of this week, I just felt very inclined not to continue the book, as it were, although we will eventually be doing so. But being still in the midst of the Chinese New Year festivity, I thought that it might be good that we focus on a passage that is really very generic in its way and applicable at all times, not just during Chinese New Year or any other occasions, but really a word of God that I trust will bring encouragement, confidence, inspiration into your lives, and perhaps for some of us, because of the things that we are going through, some of us perhaps grappling with issues in our lives, problems, burdens that we carry, but which we keep to ourselves. But just to assure us that God knows all things. And when I contacted Cindy earlier, I said, Cindy, have you chosen the songs for this week? Because it would have been actually been based on Romans chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, our current series. She had chosen ready. Then she sent me the songs. I said, wonderful songs. Because what we might be touching on in terms of Romans chapter 2 as we continue our series in the book of Romans, today, in the passage that we are going to look at shortly, brings actually for us the message that we have already sung this morning through the songs of praise and worship that Cindy has chosen. So let me begin by saying this. Is it not true that for practically all of us, I would think, because you have a handphone, during your festive periods like Christmas, particularly the New Year, and then for Chinese New Year, you always receive a lot of greetings, right? Your phone like non-stop, right? Some of you are nodding your heads. And what I've noticed is during any of these festive periods, there seems to be one, either it is a passage or it is a picture or it is some video clip or whatever, that is very popular. And some of you may have received it and then passed on. So you see that on top of that message you receive is forwarded many, many times, right? And when it's forwarded many times, you cannot do a group sending out. You got to do one by one. I think this year there were two. One was an ang pao from Jesus, which was in the form of a song. I was very much touched by that one, and I think some of you have received it, and you have enjoyed that song of blessing. The real, meaningful, substantial ang pao that you want to receive from Jesus. Chloe is not moving. Are you able to just go to the next slide? Okay. How many of you received this one? Many of you received. So I've decided I want to put this out for you. Blessed Lunar New Year. Actually, there's an article out there, right? Don't call it Lunar New Year. It's perfectly okay to be Chinese New Year. Not that we are being racist or whatever, but the reason was given. And actually, it's disrespectful to others and to the Chinese if we do not stick to Chinese New Year as what it is. I'll leave it to you to make the conclusion, but because this is not something I know how to change, I'll just leave it as it is. Blessed Lunar New Year. And the verse popularly being sent all over, I think you have received it, is from Psalm 65, verse 11. And then using the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says, you crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. You crown your year. Not just only at the end of the year or just the beginning, but all throughout the year, the Lord is going to crown your year with bounty, which is blessings. But before any one of you thought that we are going to the kind of prosperity gospel, I'll explain to you later as we use this text and the whole psalm to look at, to see that it is a very, very complete, and not just complete, very substantial word of God that addresses the greatest need of man and the greatest pursuit of man while living in this world. what your need, what my need is to begin with, and what are we always looking forward to in terms of life. Second part says, your wagon tracks overflow with abundance. When the phrase wagon tracks came out, I thought it was Western cowboy, you know, on their horse with their wagon and all that. But actually, it is the harvest carts, the carts, the wagons, if you like, yeah, the carts that the farmers will have for harvesting and putting the crops onto the carts. And that is just overflowing so much as they continue to harvest, to store, to move out, and then to bring back this harvest to the barns, all the way is overflowing. So where is this passage from? This one verse that seems to be the defining verse as I look at it for Chinese New Year. And I think it's also good that we take a break sometimes from our series. Then you take a little bit of a rest, but you continue to read the book of Romans and will eventually be covering the book. This is taken from Psalm 65, right? And I'll just use a title, not wanting to reorganize it. It's all about God's salvation and God's providence. And that's what I prayed for earlier in the prayer. Salvation, our beginning, foundational step to a relationship with God. Then assured of His providence. Providence is more than just specifically in some areas, but in all areas, the providential care of God in all areas of our lives, He takes care of it. So what we read earlier in that picture was from the ESV, English Standard Version. In the New King James that we use officially as our version of translation, at least I use it for all my preaching. If I don't put anything behind the verse, you know I'm using the New King James Version. So it tells us, God crowns your year with goodness. Bounty changed to goodness. And your wagon tracks become your paths, your walk in this world. Drips with abundance. The word drip doesn't have the idea that it's very little. It's the idea that it's continually to be overflowing. Same idea of overflowing with abundance. So that's a wonderful verse, isn't it? And no wonder this becomes and put into you call it a GIF, is it? A picture. And everybody starts to send that. How many of you did not receive this? I can send to you as a blessing. You miss out, right? But I think many, because I receive it from so many sources. And I know that Psalm 65 verse 11 seems to be the theme verse for this Chinese New Year celebration. But really, it is for all of our lives. We are going to look at this passage shortly. But just to give you a background very quickly. This is a psalm, a song written by no less than the psalmist King David. And you know, he wrote many of the psalms in the Old Testament. And all his words are very personal. They are from the heart. They are not just psalms of exhilaration, praise, and celebration, but he also talks about times of struggle, times of fear, times when he was running away from enemies. He talks also about his personal life when he committed sin of adultery and murder. And Psalm 51 comes to us as a great psalm of repentance and renewal. Take not away from me your Holy Spirit. Restore in me the joy of salvation. I'm just addressing this so that these are the fundamentals. In your life, my life as a Christian, every day we go about doing our own thing. Every week, week in, week out, day in, day out, all through the year, and then routine again the next year. Sometimes we lose focus. Sometimes we lose heart. Sometimes we feel so weary and tired. And that's why the book of Psalms, all 150 of them, are very, very instrumental in the way how God gives us this portion of Scripture. I know of many people who, besides their daily Scripture reading, every year they change a new source or whatever, but they never fail to just say, every day I'll read a psalm, or at least portions of it, because some are very long, some are very short. But they keep continuing to be refreshed as an individual. The psalmist David, other psalmists, King Solomon, even Moses himself, who wrote one of the psalms, talking about the brevity of life. These are all very helpful. And this is a very, as I said, generic psalm, meaning that it actually applies on any occasion. But particularly so, this psalm written and are celebrated during the summer and the autumn months when they had those feasts, whether it's the feast of Passover, feast of unleavened bread, or the feast of tabernacles. So what I'm trying to just bring across to you before we read this psalm is that this is a psalm of celebration. And we are in the midst of a celebration. And that's why this word, this psalm in itself, brings much by way of true blessings, spiritual as well as material and physical, upon our lives. This psalm is actually self-divided into three areas, which will be the three key points of my message as we summarize it later on. But as we read one segment at a time, we're going to do it slowly, clarify some words, maybe explain certain importance of certain phrases or whatever. Then round it up by just looking at the three key points that speaks about God's salvation for our lives and God's wonderful, perfect providence over our lives. Are you discouraged? If you are, I think it's a very sad time to be discouraged, right? When everybody else is celebrating Chinese New Year. Oh, I don't have a family. Pastor, what celebration are you talking about? Oh, I just went through a bad situation. Maybe some calamity in life. But we sang songs. Hallelujah. Praise be to the name of Jesus. He has taken away our sin. Death has no more grip on us. He's a good God. That's why I say those songs were all so wonderfully chosen. In as much as for the passage in Romans 2 verses 1 to 10 that we would address, but also for today's passage as we look at Psalm 65. I'm going to do something just a bit different. Let's all stand together. Actually, it's not really different in other churches. Let's stand, because when it comes to the reading of the Word of God, you stand, right? You stand. You stand for the reading of the Word of God. But I hope that this will also help you not to be just having seated comfortably for too long, your mind gets a bit tired. But let's read this passage, as I've said, in the three segments that itself divides. I didn't divide this, and the points are not mine, but what the scripture itself is talking about. Verses 1 to 4. Praise is waiting you, O God, in Zion. Yeah, feel free to read with me if you like, yeah? And to you the vow shall be performed. It starts with a word of declaration. God, you are praiseworthy. And God, I want to remember the vow to you that I've made. A vow that is not just paying mere lip service, not just an empty promise, but a vow that says, God, you are so good, and for the rest of my life, with the grace and strength you provide me, your word and your spirit as my guidance, I will want to keep faith and find faithful to the vow to you. Think this for a moment. Have you made vows to some people? You have, maybe at weddings between a couple. You've made vows to some people because of certain help you might have received and your commitment of either saying that, you know, I'm thanking you so much and, you know, for the rest of my life, I will be eternally grateful. And maybe in whatever way I could do, I will help you in return and all that. Very human. But this is a vow that is between you and God. At the end of the day, that is the most important vow in your life. If you come to the house of God and say, I'm very angry today. I don't feel like worshiping God. I don't care how inspirational the worship team may be or how good the preaching of the word may be. My heart is hardened. You've got to be very careful. Or if you come into the church of God and you feel really heavy laden, you feel so tired, you feel so overwhelmed. Hey, praise from your lips will open, as it were, your heart to God when you remember the vow you have made. No, I'm not talking about praiseology. Everything, praise the Lord. And I know sometimes the scripture can be wrongly applied in this way. They talk about Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas in the prison. And when they start praising God, wow, their locks, their chains all broken, doors of prisons open. There was a season in the late 70s and early 80s. Praiseology was the way to go in Christianity. And that's the phrase, praise the Lord. How it became very entrenched in the church. Everything, praise the Lord. I never mind that, praise the Lord. Are you serious? I just lost a child, praise the Lord. I just had a very bad, bad situation in my life, praise the Lord. And it becomes something that is just, what do I get out of it? But no, this is the psalmist who in his heart of heart knows his relationship with God and what ultimately God has created us for. You think God created us just to suffer in this world? Just to get to know Him and fulfill His plans? Just to go to Great Commission and do the Great Commission and win? Or have big buildings and other purchases that you boast about? No. The Lord says, I've created you for my praise and unto my glory. He says that through Prophet Isaiah. So it is an immediate verse that says, I better renew my mind if I'm still out of focus, or worse still, start thinking of other things. Not that they are not important, but let God be the preeminence of your life. He goes on, because, O you who hear prayer, to you all flesh will come, including us. Yes, iniquities are sinfulness, wickedness, feelings of guilt, anything that separates us from God, anything that our conscience convict us and say, this has been wrong. Iniquities prevail against me, and for our transgressions, our wrongdoings, Lord, you provided the atonement for them. And blessed is the one, the man or the woman, whom you choose and cause to approach you. I trust God is causing us to approach Him now. Even as we read this scripture, even as we continue to listen to His word, and indeed, even as we are found in the house of God today. Blessed is the man who you choose and cause to approach, that what he may dwell in your cause, in your presence, that we shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, of your holy temple. Are you satisfied here in the house of God, in this sanctuary of God? Are you satisfied that this is a place of goodness? This is a place of blessing. This is a place of truth. This is a place of genuinity. We are real. We take things seriously. We know God is in control of all things. He sits on the throne. He sees everything. He knows every thought and intent of the heart. So this is the first segment that David begins when he talks about how he comes before God, how this psalm is used by the Israelites during their seasons of festivity when they go up to the mountain of Jerusalem to worship. They sing this praise. Second part, by awesome deeds in righteousness, you will answer us. God is the one who will answer. And He will answer in awesome ways. But what is awesome? What are the things that you expect of God to answer you, and in what way you expect that prayer to be answered? Leave it to God. Oh God, you are God of our salvation. You are the confidence unto all the ends of the earth and off to the far off seas. You who established the mountains by your strength and you are clothed with power. You who still the noise of the seas, still the noises that are troubling you, the noise of their waves and the tumult of peoples. They also who dwell in the furthest part are afraid of your signs. You make the outgoings of the morning and evening rejoice. Just to quickly summarize, this is what David is saying, that you are God who knows, who hears our cry, who answers our prayer. And for emphasis, he says, you answer with awesome deeds. But is it really awesome to you? Maybe his awesome deed is seen as something that, hey God, it's not what I expected, you know. It's not what I'm looking forward to. But He's sovereign. He's in control. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are His thoughts higher than our thoughts, and His ways higher than our ways. And then not only does He minister to us in the inner person, He cuts out the noises around us. He assures us that this testimony that you have will be experienced by people far away. The name of the Lord will be glorified. Your mornings, your evenings will be days where you will rejoice in the morning praising God. When you retire at the night to sleep, you thank the Lord. That's what it's all about. And then finally, in the last segment, you visit the earth and you water it. He hasn't left the earth on its own. You greatly enrich the earth. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it. This is meant to be a good place. Originally, when man was first created and all that they were called to do was to tend the Garden of Eden. Everything is yours. Subdue all the animals. Take control. You water its ridges abundantly. You settle its furrows. You make it soft with showers. You bless its growth. You make the ground sweet. You don't make it a hard ground anymore. You have a wonderful pathway, as it were, that God has blessed us with. And then this verse. And you crown the year with your goodness, and your paths drip with abundance. This is summarizing everything. The whole year through, there will be bounty, goodness of God in your life. We sang the goodness of God, right? Very popular song now. Seem to be singing it so often. And your path drips with abundance. Your path that might seem so hard, He will soften it. Your path that seems so dry and dreary, there will be the overflow of His waters, of His refreshing. They drop on the pastures of the wilderness, and the little hills rejoice on every side. The pastures are clothed with flocks. The valleys also are covered with grain. They shout for joy. They also sing. Go back, read this psalm again on your own. Read it in various versions. But my encouragement and challenge you to you is this psalm and the particular verse in verse 11 that you have received as a blessing during this Chinese New Year. I hope we see the fullness and experience the abundance of God's blessing. Thank you. Please, you be seated. So what are the three parts that the psalmist David addresses? I don't know, this is always internet problem, because we know we always go through atonement for sin. Oh, Pastor, why sin? Huh? This Chinese New Year period, don't talk about sin and all this. But that's a starting point. Iniquities will always prevail against us, our transgressions. But God has provided the atonement in Christ Jesus. Blessed is he that you choose cause to approach. And then because of having received Jesus, you can dwell in His courts and be satisfied. Salvation, so fundamental, so familiar, but always so much forgotten. Forgotten in the sense that this is what it's all about ultimately. He who has a son has life. He who has not the Son of God has not life. No, in recent times, been sharing with you very much. I always say that as Christians and the Christian gospel and message, why should our message and why should our lives be so distinctly different and appealing and attractive to others? Because our faith addresses the issue of sin. No other faiths, no other religions or philosophies does that. Everyone teaches how to be good, how to improve yourself, how to be better. And you're just jumping from one place to another, how to self-enrich, be a better person, be a smarter person, whatever. Sin, seldom addressed. And interestingly, I must say this, only just, I think, 2 days ago, happened to see a clip, and sometimes I see this because I generally have a feel of how Christianity is being shared all over, not just in Singapore, elsewhere, and how the approaches are taken. I think that was the first time, haven't seen it thoroughly yet, but I think that was the first time that the person was asked the question, why Christianity? And his answer was simply sin, that no other faith, religion, or philosophy addresses. All have sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. We'll come to that text in due course in Romans. That's why we're doing the book of Romans. All have sinned without exception, fallen short of God's glory. Isaiah said, no, none is righteous. We like sheep have all gone astray. And our best works and efforts that we bring to God are like filthy rags, undeserving of God. All have sinned, fallen short of God's glory, and the wages, the penalty of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. I'm not going to belabor this point, but I'm honestly and seriously encouraging you, renew as it were, if it's called a vow, your vow of having said, Jesus, I receive you into my life. I seek your forgiveness for my sins and all my wrongdoings. I thank you for forgiveness, for healing, for restoration. And then the authority, having been reconciled unto God, to be called children of God. You know, sometimes things are so fundamental, so familiar that we skip that away. And you know who likes that? Satan loves that. Satan loves that you forget about your salvation. Satan loves the fact that beyond that you start saying, oh, I'm very good. I'm an asset to God and to His church. I'm very capable. I'm very intelligent. I have a lot of resources. And then, instead of focusing on Him, self-centeredness come in. Your self-gratification. And then with your self-gratification, your self-glorification, it's all about I, me, and myself. Who I am, what I can do. You Christians, you are weaklings, lah, you know. You all need crutches. You cannot walk on your own. And Satan would love you if you start thinking that way. And you remember how in the gospel, we have incidents of how people who are convicted by the Spirit of God, you know, in the same video that I mentioned about, the person having said that salvation is fundamental, he addresses the next issue. He says the problem is humility. We are not humble enough to come. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves, then pray. You don't humble yourselves, you will not pray, you will not seek His face. Why should I? I'm good. I'm in charge. Everything is in my hand, my control. But these are very fundamental things that once from the beginning at a foundational level is taken off, you are standing on nothing. And Satan, and I assure you, the world will have a field day, they easily. But is that too simplistic? No, it's just simple. But it's not unreasonable. There is not another religion, philosophy that you have thought about that talks about the sin of man, the need for justice. We talk about holy God, a righteous God. We love the loving God, but don't forget He's also holy. And in His holiness, righteousness, and justice must prevail. That's why it is. So this is all about how I'm aware of iniquities. I'm aware of my own transgressions. I'm aware of all these things within and outside that keep barging into my life, hitting me. But I thank you, Lord. In you I have the atonement. I have the forgiveness. My debt is paid. My sins are cleansed. My life is washed. And I thank you, Lord, that you choose to constantly remind me that I may approach you. I wanted to do this as a second point, but I thought just tie it up together. With the atonement that God provides, thank God for the way he constantly calls you to approach him. Then I mentioned in that video I shared, you know, the issue is our humility, our self-sufficiency. We are not judged. How do you reconcile this? I tell what I do, okay? I normally like say, what does the world celebrate? What does the world see as a strong person, the one that has achieved? Then you think of your political leaders, you think of our leaders, first generation in Singapore and everything, and oh, very good and everything. And I, don't get me wrong, I applaud them. Thankful for these people that bring very good welfare and a sense of well-being to population at large. But what about their own personal lives? At the end of the day, it is appointed unto man once to die after that judgment. How powerful you are, that is the same. You know that phrase, right? What? YOLO. YOLO. You only live once. This one I receive also. No. You not only live once. You only die once. But you live every day. Amen? You're not excited. I lost my punchline. Is it? The word I like to say is, you only live once. Enjoy yourself. No. I only in Christ Jesus live once. Born again, born two times, die once. Born one time, die two times, right? But you don't just only live once. You only die once. But you live every day. Amen? And I trust that that will humble us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exhort you in due time. Christian faith and the principles that we follow are always paradoxes to the principles of the world. The world can try to tell you, say, as long as you study well, work hard, you'll be successful. They can't even bring that promise to pass. People work very hard. People do everything, but they don't get their just results. Because it's a very unfair world. It's a very unjust world. Bill Gates, right? One of the richest men. The world is unfair. Get used to it. I came out with a rejoinder. God is unfailing. Get used to him. The world is unfair. We poor guys better get used to it. But God is unfailing. We get used to him. But the sad thing is, the world is not just unfair, right? It's also unjust. If unfair, already bad, but unjust. People are just wanting things for themselves and, you know, even inflicting unnecessary burdens and despair on the lives of other people. We have a better way to live our life. And it starts with recognizing our atonement for our sin, our life in Christ Jesus. Okay. Second one that we saw was God gives answer to our prayer. By awesome deeds in righteousness, he will answer us. He's the God of our salvation, because it goes back to the first point. He answers because he has promised us salvation. He has promised us a relationship with him. And he is a confidence for us unto the ends of the earth, unto the far away seas. He's there with you. It's the same promise of God's presence with you when he says, go preach the gospel, baptize them, teach them to observe all things. I am with you even to the ends of the earth. Answer to your prayer. You see, this is helpful because, yeah, I know about my salvation, but I still face struggles and difficulties. Maybe if I have really indeed grown in maturity in God, deeper knowledge of God's word, understanding of his word, sensitivity and submissive to his Holy Spirit, I can move on. But a lot of us, remember last week, I mentioned to you about this pastor who said, If some of you are just relying on your sinner's prayer prayed 25 years ago and say you are saved, you better look into your life again. Because it's not like at one time you have just prayed a sinner's prayer and then you just do your own thing. Cannot be. Scripture talks about growing in faith. Be ye holy just as I'm holy. Perseverance of the saints. Not that we need efforts, but this becomes the actual fruit of our salvation. It's not contradictory. You cannot just try to pick and choose and say, I want salvation, settled, now I do my own thing again. I live my own way. It's not there. Certainly it's not there. Jesus warns, at the last day, some will come to me, Lord, Lord, have we not preached in your name? Wow, preach in Jesus' name, you know, maybe very big time preachers. Cast out demons in your name. Did signs and wonders in your name. And Jesus says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I do not know you. Very, very serious indictment. Very, very serious charge. But if we are truly thankful for the salvation that we have, the God of our salvation, we can also be trusting enough to come to Him in prayer, casting all our cares unto Him. Be not anxious for anything. You know this verse so well, Philippians 4:7. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But don't make your prayer a shopping list. Some weeks back, I mentioned about prayer. You don't pray like you need to inform God. He knows everything. You don't pray like you're instructing God. Then you are God. You don't pray like you're trying to impress God. He doesn't need to be impressed. You don't even pray to invite God into your situation. He often intervenes even without invitation. Thank God for that. But you pray just to be infused, just to be connected, just to be in His presence and resting in Him. That's the real answer to prayer. When like Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the way of the cross was just before Him, before His betrayal, and then He's being led to the hill of crucifixion. He says, all things possible with you, God. You can think, change things around, but nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And we surrender to Jesus. And the last thought we saw was that abundance in provision. And this is the verse that we know, right? Because He provides for all of our needs. God supplies all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We read that also in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. He supplies all of our needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus. We call Him Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that provides. But it's not just the physical provision. It is the sense of spiritual fullness and abundance. You don't have to be richer than the next guy. For where you are, for what has given, God has given you, provided for you, more than sufficient. In fact, the Bible was very clear in the same chapter, in chapter 4. It's all about contentment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, because I learned to live in contentment. I know what it's like Paul says, to live in poverty, but I also know how to live in plenty. No problem. And all these are the promises and the assurances of God that He will crown your life, your year, with His goodness. The goodness that we sing about. And your path drips with abundance, not because you have plenty, but your life is such a blessing to the name of Jesus and to the people that He uses you to be a blessing to. Three thoughts from the three segments. Atonement for sin, our starting point. Answer to prayer, yes, we are Christians, we still have problems. Prayer comes in, we get connected to God, we are strengthened. His grace is sufficient. If He doesn't remove the problem, He says, live with it, you live with it. Because His grace is sufficient. In your weakness, His strength is made perfect. If He takes it away, praise God, hallelujah. If he says wait, then be patient. Right? Answer from God is either yes, no, wait. And we go to him in prayer. And in all of our lives, when Jesus says, I come that you may have life and life to its fullest abundance. He was contrasting with the thief, Satan. The thief, Satan, comes to steal, kill, destroy. I come that you may have life and life to its abundance. Takes care of what the devil may try to steal, to kill, and to destroy in our lives. Amen. Let's conclude with this one verse that you are familiar with, and oftentimes during Chinese New Year you read about it, but I want to give it to you in the amplified version. Let's all stand together. We'll pray this prayer together. This is a prayer of the Apostle John to his beloved in the faith. This is a good verse, but often misused, misapplied just for abundance and prosperity for ourselves. But let's read this together, okay, in its amplified version. John is praying this prayer for you and for me and for all of us. And we are praying this for others also. Beloved, I pray that in every way you may succeed and prosper and be in good health physically, just as I know your soul prospers spiritually. This is the true essence of this prayer. Not just the physical, material blessings, but how John knows in the life of this person that he prayed this prayer for. This is a man of God. This is a woman of God. This is a true child of God who puts his faith in Jesus and who prospers, firstly, spiritually, then the others being added unto us. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for this day, Lord, as we remember how you have promised us that, Lord, you bless us with such abundance in life, such goodness. And even now, Lord, as we, even in response, prepare our hearts for the partaking of the Holy Communion, we thank you, Lord, that when we do so, we are reminded of the price that Jesus has paid for us. So that this morning again, Lord, as we celebrate the Holy Communion, we might truly do so with a sense of deep reverence and a heart of true thanksgiving. Thank you. May I just invite the worship team to come? And as we take this song,